I'd like to call this October 9th, 2012 Monroe City Council meeting to order. Mayor Pro Tem Gehring sitting in for the ill Mayor Zimmerman this evening. AD, if you would do the roll call, it'd be great.
Councilperson Gehring.
Here.
Cutabat.
Here.
Williams. Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Present.
Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we have now is set aside for citizens to speak to the City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matters subject to a public hearing. Public hearing tonight being on revenue sources for 2013, so any topics other than that, this is your chance to come address the City Council. I do have one sign up this evening, Mr. Todd Johnson. And if you would, your name and address for the record, please.
Sure. It's Todd Johnson. P.O. Box 549, Carnation, Washington. And I'm speaking, was this just the budget, or this is,
we're speaking, anytime you'd like to speak.
All right, absolutely. I'm speaking for the opportunity to present Monroe Laundry, Monroe Laundry Company's request for a water evaporation allowance for the water that is used in the washing process but never enters the sewage treatment system. Most sewer authorities assume that the amount of water you take in is equal to the amount of water you send back for treatment. For most ratepayers, that's true. But for laundromats, there's a significant amount that does not get returned to the system, but rather gets evaporated in the dryers. That's what the water evaporation allowance is all about. Well, what we're asking for is an allowance credit for the charges we pay for sewer treatment for the water we don't actually use or send back. Recent national testing shows the percentage of water loss through evaporation to be between 3% and 15%, depending on the equipment of the total amount of water entering the store. In our documentation we presented to Monroe, we have attached a copy of the verification documentation supporting the 5% allowance that was prepared for the City of Carnation utilizing the same equipment that is used in the Monroe Laundry Company's facility. This document was overseen by the City of Carnation's Superintendent of Utilities, Bill Ferry. It also incorporates the standard formula for the water evaporation allowance. A precedent for doing this does exist in the allowances and deducts that are often given to ratepayers that utilize irrigation systems or water for swimming pools. The fact that water remains in the clothes prior to evaporation in the dryers is undisputable. We are extremely proud of our choice of the laundry equipment that we use. This equipment incorporates the very latest engineering and design features to reduce water usage even to the point of a spin cycle that exceeds 200 G's to wring the last drop of water from the clothes prior to this drying process. This request for a 5% evaporation allowance is quite modest. It would actually amount to approximately $700 out of a sewer billing of $13,000 per year. This figure also incorporates the projected sewer rate increases that are pending for 2013. And we're here if you have any questions about that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's the only person I had signed up this evening, but as always, if there's someone else who would like to address council, now would be the opportunity. So please give your name and address for the record. All right, we'll move on to business and action items this evening. We do have the need for an executive session, and I will turn that over to City Administrator Brazel and City Attorney.
sessions, executive sessions for labor negotiations are an interesting exception to the public meetings law in that they're not considered a public meeting. So unlike most of the time when you read a provision and you're not required to do it, I will indicate that it's provided for by Chapter 4230. Again, the collective bargaining sessions are not a public meeting by definition. So, for you to adjourn to an executive session, you have a little more latitude on the amount of time. We suggest 30 to 40 minutes for beginning.
Okay, so we'll start with 30 minutes and extend if needed. So we will go into executive session at this time. Thank you. All right, it's 7:55 and we are back in regular session. And I will wait until we have one more council member, since we have three in the room at the moment, before we begin. And we're still in open session. Up next, we do have a public hearing on revenue sources for 2013, including considerations of possible property tax increases. And I will open the public hearing and kick it off to Diane.
Thank you. This is more or less a housekeeping item. This is an opportunity for the public to speak their mind and their opinion on any subject regarding revenues for the 2013 budget, including any property tax increases, and it's to satisfy the RCW and to give the public a chance to give some input to the council.
Council, any initial questions before we open up public comment portion of the public hearing? All right, seeing no lights, we'll open the public hearing portion, public testimony portion of the public hearing. If anyone would like to speak to council on the proposed revenue sources for 2013, including consideration of possible property tax increases, now is the time to come to the podium. All right, seeing no one, I would entertain a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Still moved.
Second.
Motion made by Councilmember Cutterback, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing. Seeing no lights, we'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed? Motion passed 6-0. Great. Council, any other questions for Diane before we move on? Quick and easy. We'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion made by Councilmember Cutterback, seconded by Councilmember Gamble to close the public hearing. Seeing no lights, we'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. All right. Moving on to our study session topics this evening. Preliminary 2013 budget presentation. Everyone should have at least seen the printed copy that was in your box a week ago, or 2 weeks ago. And we'll kick that off to Diane.
This is just a formal announcement for the record that we have presented the preliminary 2013 budget with the mayor's budget message. It's been given to each of the council and filed with the city clerk. It is available online and at the city hall counter for anyone who cares to ask for a copy, and there will be a presentation and further discussion of the budget in the month of November, and on two different council meetings. We will have to do general fund and internal service funds one meeting, and capital funds and utilities on another meeting, and where we will go in detail. This is just to get it on the record that we have satisfied the RCW and presented and filed the budget.
Thank you. So, Council, no action requested or anticipated this evening. Again, between now and November, there's plenty of opportunity for you to reach out to staff. We'll get the questions that you have answered that I've seen here. And we will, in November, have an in-depth opportunity to have most of your, if not all of your questions answered at a meeting or on your own outside of the meeting. So, with that, Council, are there any more questions with regard to this before we move on to the next?
Thank you. I just have one question so I can make sure I do my research on it. What is the innovation partnership zone? That $25,000 was budgeted for that. as part of the economic development plan. Is that for you, Jeff?
Yeah, that would be.
Okay.
Do you want to answer now, Mr.?
But,
Councilor,
can, is that a question you want now? Or is something you want to follow up with afterwards, or do we want to do it tonight?
If you can answer it now, that would be helpful.
Sure. Basically, the state legislature many years ago created IPZ Innovative Partnership Zones that allowed for a rigorous partnership between public education, ISO certified exporters, local government, and local businesses inside of a district. Two of the you might be most familiar with is the biomedical complex in Bothell and the Walla Walla IPZ for wine, the wine industry. Both of those, at the time, there was state funding attached to it. So if you went through the rigorous analysis, formed a partnership, there was state funding that was forthcoming to help you fund staff and move forward with that. Right now, what we're working on is with Sultan, Gold Bar, Index, Skycomish, and Snohomish. Snohomish County is also partnering with it. Is the infancy of it. Whether it's an IPZ or whether it's simply a what we're calling a port-to-pass recreational economic area, that's what we're working towards with the idea that we'll use our recreational assets, the Index Wall, the fish hatcheries, the Wallace Falls, the hiking trails, the new shooting range in Sultan that's coming online, Park Cable Park, the rivers, and what we can do is use our recreational assets as an incubator or testing facility for small companies that have a new idea that they want to test market a product, with the intention that we would then attract them to develop, market, and export their product from the corridor. So that's the initial intention. Monroe, Carolyn Eslick, Mayor of Sultan, has been leading this show. They've been funding it out of their budget for the last year and a half as we've pulled it together, and they've asked Monroe to partner with them this year. Part of that, the majority of that money will go to a facilitator, and I'd be happy to bring all that information forward at the time
Yeah, that would be helpful, just to see where the money is going, if it's paying for staffing, is it paying for PR, or other, we're in this zone with, as you mentioned, the other cities, are they contributing, is this a pool, and then who has say of how it's spent, or is it us determining, so just more information about that would be helpful.
Sure.
Because it's coming out of the contingency fund, we're not allotting some of it out of the general fund, at least it's proposed to come out of contingency fund versus funding it out of the general fund.
Just for clarity, it wouldn't be in the general fund if it was funded the previous year, correct, Diane? It's in the contingency fund this year because it's in the program.
Was it funded for this
year? Yeah, it would have been funded last year. It was a continuing program. It would be in general fund.
Yeah, typically it would be, yeah.
So contingency funding is leftover general fund money, but it's set aside for council-initiated projects. I believe I said that correctly. So,
clarification just on that. You said it's a new program? Is that?
We've not funded it in the past. It's all been supported by basically my time.
Okay. So, because when I read the mayor's letter at the beginning, it said there's no new programs specifically. We are saying that there is a new program.
I was using the new program as an example, trying to inform council what a contingency fund is. It's not really, it's excess revenue.
Right.
It's not budgeted. It's general fund revenue, but it's up to council to allocate those funds. Is it a new program? Yes, I guess you could call it a new program. It's a contract that we're issuing through a company called, it's Italian, Girardola, I guess is what it is. And shall facilitate the effort to pull the group together.
Thanks, Jeff.
You bet.
Councilmember Campbell. I just was wondering if you turn off the big lights for a minute, President.
Oh, that's important.
That's important. Okay, Councilmember Kedak, anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. We'll move on to presentation on property tax levy information.
Okay, I wanted to just quick do a little property tax overview for you, because property taxes, it's a real simple concept, but of course, over the years with legislation and various things, it's got a lot of complex rules that affect it, so that just so everyone's on the same page, I thought I'd give a little presentation and spell out how our levy is working for this next year. There's three terms that we'll be talking about tonight. AV, that's the assessed value, and there's two AVs that we're mainly dealing with. One is assessed value for the city as a whole that our levy is based on, and the other is AV of a single property or a home, a single home. So those are the two AVs that we deal with. There's the rate, and the tax rate is multiplied by the AV to get the amount of the tax due. It's always expressed in thousands, like you say, it's a dollar per $1,000 of assessed value, and that's just to keep the numbers manageable. The levy is the total amount of taxes received by the city each year. It's the amount of taxes that you as council set to be collected from the city, citizens and businesses each year, for the property owners each year. And so those are the three terms. There's other terms, such as bank capacity, levy lid, lift, omits, and emissions and things, but we're not going to get into that. I just want to keep it simple to what pertains to our levy for 2013. And please interrupt me at any time if I'm not making any sense. Okay, the formula is basically AV times the rate equals the levy. Simple enough. Now, if the assessed value goes up, then the rate will go down. If the assessed value goes down, like the times that we're in right now, the rate goes up. Now, if the levy goes up and now those two conditions would happen if the levy stayed the same. If the levy goes up and the assessed value goes up, then the rate goes, and the assessed value goes down, then the rate goes up even more. So that's one thing that we're looking at in these days, that where the rate is starting to come into play. In years past, no one ever talked about the rate because the assessed values were always climbing, so the rate always stayed low. But now that the assessed value is going down, the rate's going up, and that's something we need to look at. So, as an example, on the left-hand side is the AV we're talking about for the entire city. Now, if for the whole city, the AV was $1,350,000,000, in order to get a levy of $1.9 million, your tax rate would have to be $1.47. If the entire AV for the city went down from $1.3 billion to $1.2, then in order to get the same amount of levy, your rate is going to go up to $1.65. Conversely, if the assessed value in times of boom economic growth, if it goes up to $1.5 billion AV, then your rate will go down to $1.32 to get the same levy amount. Now, for a residence within that city, their house also each year will go up and down, but not at the same rate that the city's total overall AV will go up and down. The two are not exactly parallel because there's always new construction coming on board. So the city's AV may go way up, but a home may only go up a little bit. Or the cities may go way down and a home may go down a little bit. And so for a residence, when the tax rate is one, but the resident will always pay the rate that's assigned to the whole city, regardless of what their own personal AV did. So as you can see in this example, the city is receiving the exact same amount every year in each of those three examples, whereas the homeowners paying a different amount in each of those three examples. So as more construction is built, the AV citywide goes up. So the person's home could stay the exact same AV, and the city's AV will go up because new construction is coming on, and so that person's rate is going to go down each year. So they may, in times of growth, they may even be paying less tax each year, because we have a bigger tax AV to base it off of. I hope I'm making sense, because it's kind of a squirrely thing. Now, of course, there's statutory limits on all this stuff, and there is a maximum statutory limit on the rate. The rate cannot go over $3.60 per thousand of assessed value. If you have a separate fire district, you have to subtract $1.50 for them. If you have a separate library district, you have to subtract 50 cents for them. So that leaves $1.60 is our maximum that we can have for our rate. We can never go over $1.60 regardless of the levy or the assessed value. We're capped at $1.60. There's another cap as well, and that is the levy that council passes each year in the property tax ordinance. That levy can never increase by more than 1%, or since we have a population of 10,000 or more, we are also bound by the percentage increase of the implicit price deflator, whichever is less. Generally, in the implicit price deflator, it's very similar to a CPI. It's an inflationary measure. And rarely do you ever, is it ever less than 1%. Only one time was it ever, and that was, what, a year ago, 2 years ago? That was the only time it's ever been less than 1%. So generally it's the 1% that's the amount, that the maximum amount you can do, unless you're using bank capacity or going out to the voters and asking for an excess lid left. But just on your own authority, you can only increase it by 1% for the whole levy. That's all I wanted to say about that. Okay, so as an example, go back to the thing that we were just looking at, slide we were looking at just a minute ago, where you on the left-hand side for the entire city, you have the $1.3 billion assessed value at $1.47, and then if the AV goes down to 1.2, to get the same levy, your rate goes up to 165, but that's above the statutory limit. So you are forced then, to the third item there, to bring it down to $1.60, which means that your levy is now 1,920,000 rather than 980,000. So you are losing money as far as the city goes, losing tax revenue as the city. Now for the resident, because the rate goes down, they pay less too. So when the AV goes down, the rate can get above the statutory limit, and at that point, the city starts to lose property tax revenue. So that's something that some cities are at this point right now because of the recent recession, because they were already up close to $1.60. We weren't, but because they were already up there, they're now hitting this where they're actually, their revenues are decreasing, their property tax revenues are decreasing because they can't do anything about it. And so I know some cities are panicking. We are not. Fortunately. So then you get down to actually calculating the levy. And what you do is you take the prior year's levy, you have the option to add the 1% if you choose, and then whatever new construction that's coming on the rolls for this next year, that new construction is taxed at the previous year's rate, not at the new year's rate. And then you add those first two amounts together, and it gives you the new levy. And then you divide that levy by the city's AV to get the rate, making sure it's below the statutory maximum. So here we are, the 2013 property tax levy. Last year's levy was $1,962,000. If you choose to use the 1%, it's $19,600 added to the city's tax revenue. New construction that we just got the numbers from the county is being valued, coming on at $2.8 million is the value of it. That's low. Usually it's a lot more, but we are in, you know, times of recession. Last year's levy rate was $1.33, so that means the new construction levy is $3,743. So you take that $3,743, you add it to the top number, the $1,962,000, and that gives you your total 2013 levy amount of $1,966,000. That's what's going to be our levy for next year. And the city's AV for the 2013 levy is $1,345,000,000. So you divide the levy by the AV, and that gives you a tax rate in 2013 of $1.46. And it actually goes out five decimal places, but just for ease, I'm keeping it at two for this presentation. And that's, as you can see, below the maximum statutory rate. So we're okay there. So that's, in a nutshell, what the preliminary budget is presenting to you. The $1,966,000 in property tax revenue. So here's a comparison of the 1% lid lift that you have the option of. there are the numbers for the city, the tax rate, and then what the tax would be on a $200,000 home for without the 1% and with the 1%. You can see the differences. The city would get an additional $19,000. The tax rate would go up a penny, and the tax on a $200,000 home would go up $2. When you look at it, you go, that's really nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Why are we even talking about this? Because you're right. In the big scheme of things, that's not anything. But what I want to show you, what it does have a bearing on, is the cumulative value. Over a five-year period here, on that top box, if you look at the city, here's 2013, you see the difference is the $19,000. Not a whole heck of a lot in the big scheme of things. But it has a cumulative effect each year, so that if you continue not to take advantage of your 1% increase, by 5 years from now, the property tax revenue difference is $100,000, which is substantial to us. That is a difference. And if you look at the $200,000 home, what they are going to be paying, the difference is from $3 to $15 for an entire year. Now, the reason that it's a bigger effect on the city than it is on the homeowner is because of the new construction coming on board each year. For purposes of these numbers, I did an estimated $3 million worth of new construction each year. I just arbitrarily put in. And that's conservative. This year we're getting $2.8 million, but it's a really lousy year. In future years, it's going to be a lot more. So the difference will be much greater. But I thought I'd keep it conservative. And so that's why it's only $100,000. I have a feeling in reality it's going to be quite a bit more than $100,000 difference to the city. But anyway, so I just wanted you to have a feel for the difference of what the 1% means. It means not too much this year. Cumulatively, it will mean something to the city. So you just got to weigh how you feel about this. And so this is the last slide. Tonight we have the public hearing on the property tax revenues. November 6th, we'll have the first reading of the ordinance for setting the levy. November 13th, I'm hoping you'll adopt the levy. And then we have to file with the county by November 30th, or we don't get any property tax at all next year. So, in some sense, a third of our general fund revenue, it's kind of a big deal. And so what I would like to know from council, and you can decide you want to make this decision later or tonight or whatever, but in the preliminary budget that you have right now, the 1% is not in there. But I would like to know if you want to include the 1%, and that would, you know, determine what ordinance I bring forward on November 6th.
And if I remember, the way we did last year is we had both options, and my personal preference would be doing the way that we did last year.
Do up two ordinances?
Yeah, do up two ordinances, and then we can have the discussion like we did last time.
Okay.
And then that way we can have a full discussion with the other council member who's missing tonight as well.
Okay.
And go from there.
I was trying to get out having to do two ordinances, but okay.
Can't do. Again, doing our due diligence, and it's a tax increase.
It's a big deal.
And so we have to answer for that. And
absolutely.
I'd like to make sure that we do that also. My preference, I don't know if any of the council members have.
Okay.
Well, actually, we're sorry, not the answer you wanted.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm really okay with it.
Diane, I appreciate you breaking this down for us in terms that are easier to understand and a little bit more complicated. And the average person doesn't understand all the factors that are in. And I just want to say on the record, I understand the compounding and the difference it could make in 5 years, but I know that people out here now are going to hear property tax increase. And people are still struggling, there's still foreclosures. And so that's, you know, I have to listen to that. So when I get the compounding, you know, I'm probably going to err on the side of, having looked at all this already, that of not voting for property tax increase this year.
I understand that, yeah, the mood is not to do it. I mean, because when I first did the draft budget, I had it in there because I was looking for more money for the city. The mayor asked me to take it out because he said, we can't do this, you know. So
I'm giving him a shot.
Well, two ordinances gives that shot.
There. Okay.
So we can look forward to that on November 6th. Was the one month.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anything else for Dan? Great. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. All right. Our next item on the agenda is the introduction for North Kelsey Design Guidelines Update. And I assume that is going to be Brad.
No, it's going to be Paul. I forgot to hear.
Oh, and Paul. And his name's listed. I didn't see him here, so I assumed it's going to be you.
Standards. The sign is going to be taken out of this but incorporated into the new, updated, completed sign code, which we're written in now. We have a consultant on board to help us finish that. So we've seen that for too long. So what it leaves is some of the basics to do with the architectural and landscape design for specific sites. It disconnects the parts that really weren't relevant at all any longer. Gave you a marked up version, which is probably twice as thick as the clean version that's been amended. But tonight, the intent was to bring this to you just for your information, and we'll be coming back, I want to say, November 6th. Planning Commission has seen this once. They have a public hearing on Monday next week.
First reading on the 16th.
Pardon me?
First reading scheduled for the 16th.
16th, okay. November 16th.
No, October 6th.
That's next week.
October 6th, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. We can do that too. The commission will hear Monday night, make a recommendation, and we'll bring it forward. So, any questions?
A number of lights and including myself. A lot of blue lines, and I appreciate the having the marked up copy, which is great. I haven't had a chance, having had a chance to look through this. Nothing that jumps up too much, although, you know, it's good to see the signing stuff. We're about to deal with that. So I appreciate all the explanations as to, we're going to be talking about the other things later, specifically sign code. Lot of changes, a lot of things that are, you know, significantly different, as you said, you know, from the original implementation, based on the way things are moving now. Seeing that the landscape stuff still is there, seeing how the architectural standards are still there. I mean, there's nothing to stop anybody from building something or designing something, you know, based on an original interpretation of this whatsoever, with these, regardless of whether or not we make these changes. Might be someone to put, you know, and the fact that the architectural standards and the landscape standards are still there, that's what was important to me, having that certain look and feel. And I think those are two of the areas that were pretty much the least touched. I think you had mentioned that there are at least a few changes in each one, but I did appreciate that those were, you know, the look and the feel and keeping it together in that way, regardless of whether it's more auto-centric or not. I think that's important, and I'm glad that that's something that's not changing.
See, really, there was a lot of discussion and guidelines related to the public open spaces and the village green and the pedestrian spine, and none of that has happened and is not going to happen. So really, most all the opportunities to do that sort of thing are gone. What we have left is not going to be able to take advantage of that.
Personally, I think there could still be a village green. Someone once said that there's still a lot of space that's unpurchased and still sitting there, but, you know,
not for long.
Yeah, well, indeed, who knows? Who knows when the next fire may come? And so, sign code, I'm glad to see that stuff specifically pulled out, and we'll be dealing with that separately. I found the sign code to be, and I know there's, you know, 2005, 2006 was very. Lots of time put into that, and I think probably too much. It was a bit overbearing. You can't read some of those signs still today, driving by, trying to read some of them, and the way they got squeezed down there. So making those a little bit more business-friendly, I certainly look forward to talking about those kind of changes when we get into that. Otherwise, you know, I think the timing is right. We've been talking about this all year, making these kind of changes, and so you know, moving forward with this. With the schedule you guys have set up, I think makes sense. But we have a couple other lights, so I will go ahead and call. Oh, looks like a couple of them went away. Do we not have that? Councilor Cutterback, your light is on.
Mine's still there.
Sorry.
Paul, I have a little bit of concern about the timing. Just with having a public hearing on Monday the 15th, and that night they also have a public hearing about the mitigation fees, the impact fees. And then coming to council on Tuesday the 16th and having the first reading of the ordinance. I mean, I'm not sure how the rest of council feels, just even putting a couple weeks in there between the public hearing and that's having maybe the first reading of the ordinance on November 6th, the same as the mitigation fees. Might feel better that there's more of a process in the time maybe to think about the public hearing, any comments that are made on it, time to digest it, and then come back on November 6th. Is there a time sensitive between October 16th and November 6th on this issue?
I don't believe so. Part of the impetus for doing this is to remove, for example, the requirement that all first floor space be retail. It doesn't prohibit its next core place in offices on the first floor. But that's in that time frame is not going to be a deterrent to that project. I guess there is no do or die.
Yeah, and my
deadline happening that soon.
And this is pretty guided. I think it would be worthwhile to have a discussion around an open public space, and is there any opportunity for us to look at, is that still an option even with what we have building right now? Because because there's substantial changes in this, in these design guidelines. So I would prefer that we have the public hearing on the 15th and maybe you not have a first reading of the ordinance on the 16th, but actually bring it back on November 6th or our next council meeting and have the first reading then. That would be my preference.
Seeing no other lights, I will comment myself. I personally have no problem with the first reading next week. Let's still approve my, as many meetings as we want between first and second. I think to move the process along, I don't think there's anything wrong with the first meeting next week, in my opinion. Certainly appreciate that, but I mean, as far as getting things changed, there has been a process. So I didn't know if you were alluding to maybe that there hadn't been a process followed. I wasn't quite sure what I
well,
heard you say
this
there.
Well, this is our first public hearing on this, on the design guidelines.
The first formal public hearing, yes. Yeah. We did hear it earlier as an introductory discussion.
Yeah. So that's my point, is it's the first public hearing, and then we're making a decision the next day. That hearing might end at 10 or 11 that night. I'm not sure how long it's going to go. And then the next day, we're having a reading of the ordinance.
And just, I'll respectfully disagree. We will be making a decision that night. A first reading is different than a second and final reading. Second and final makes it official. First, it could come back completely different the second time. Jason Gabbert, Councilmember Gabbert.
Yeah, but even in, I tend to agree with Councilmember Cutterback on this one because that gives us a time to digest at least feedback from the public hearing. Not all of us are going to be able to attend the public hearing if we so desire. I have a conflict that night. So even in taking the first reading, and I guess the piece is that I'd be more concerned if there was something that was contingent on it, that's holding up one of the deals. If there was stuff in there that what I'm hearing that there's really not any sort of thing that's going to hamper that, so I don't see where the harm would be to be just a little bit more judicious with that being the first public hearing and then the subsequent. So that's just my personal opinion. I don't see the harm in it. I think it just gives us an opportunity to digest that information. Go ahead.
Councilor Camp, sorry. You snuck it on there. I was looking at you, it wasn't on, and it was on. So
currently it's scheduled for the first reading on the 16th, and then the final reading, or the second final would be
November 6th.
November 6th.
On that basis, I think the second reading should be November 6th.
Okay, so basically it's slid out to someplace in November if we were to go down that route. I agree, I don't really see any great significant issue. If there's no time constraint, there's nothing that's going to affect delaying it until November 6th. We have another meeting here.
We're meeting on the 23rd as well.
Possibly.
Yeah, that would be a difference.
Are you asking
I will yield to it.
I think at least putting a week in between the public hearing and doing the first reading of the ordinance. I saw on the schedule the 23rd was canceled. If we do have a meeting, I would be fine with putting it on that evening. For me, it's looking at also public perception, and we might not feel it's an issue, but the public might feel it's an issue. And I think any time that we can show that there's thoughtful process and consideration, that it wasn't set, that can only help. So if we do have a meeting on the 23rd, I would be fine with putting it on that agenda. But if we don't, then I would ask that we put it on the next meeting after. It would be November
6th. Yeah, did we decide on the term?
Yeah, I had thought we did, but we may get to that when we do the extended agenda. There may be details.
So my contingency is if we have one on the 23rd, that will be the date. Otherwise, we'll be the 6th.
Mr. Saxon.
For our city attorney, out of abundance of caution, we do have a purchase and sale agreement that's scheduled to close on October 31st with next quarter. Mm-hmm. They will be in for their building court and shell permit. Before that, they intend to break ground on the 5th of November. And by delaying the changes in North Kelsey guidelines, I'm not saying that it will or won't happen, but the city's been challenged before for decisions. And this is a process that's been well vetted. There's going to be a public hearing in front of the Planning Commission. And it's been scheduled. It's been on the calendar for some time. I would recommend moving forward with the ordinance as the schedule is currently set up. We have a project that's very large coming into our community, and it's moving through the process, and code changes are required to assure that nothing untoward will happen to that project.
But Jeff, even under the current proposal, we're not going to have a vote before the date, the timeline you just laid out. I guess that's my question. If that, I mean, what you just said.
I don't know what the second reading is right now.
Well, the proposed second meeting wouldn't be until the 6th.
That's better than the later November.
See, I don't. Okay, yeah, I guess I'm missing the delineation, you know, there, because if you're mad, if the ordinance isn't, you know, voted on, it's not been passed.
Understood.
We're going to have a meeting on the 23rd. Then I would say first reading then.
And that would still be about 2 weeks before this.
Agreed.
All right, so we'll do it on the 23rd rather than the 16th that night. So we'll have a meeting that night with whatever else we have on that. Okay. All right, thank you, Paul.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, it took a while to redo that one. One of those thick guys. Thick reading over the weekend. All right, a discussion, sewer rates for laundromats, which is next up on the agenda. And I believe that is Brad.
Because I didn't know.
Yes. And I have no idea what's going through the news. Mr. Johnson's right away. But Mr. Johnson from the Royal Laundry Company has requested a reduced rate for his sewer based on the contention that the water that comes in, some of it evaporates in the dryers as opposed to going down the sewer. He has that same arrangement in Carnation, Duval. And they give them a 5% discount, and they've created a special class of rates on their utility billing that says, you know, rental customers and then laundromats have a different rate classification. So I did some quick calculations, and out of the $13,000 more or less that he pays each year for a sanitary sewer, it would be approximately a $650 difference. The only consideration about that is that the precedence it would set, and if we start having a whole bunch of people coming in with their, you know, I don't use as much water because when we spray the water in the vegetables in the grocery store, it evaporates because that's why we have to keep spraying them, or, you know, things like that, and, you know, how that would be handled in the future. So that one in particular isn't a large impact. It's just if more and more people start thinking about this, we have to look at how to change our rates, basically, because, you know, we're not making a whole bunch of extra money in our sewer system, so if we start giving more and more discounts, we just have to raise the rates for everybody else. So the request tonight is what direction you can have a discussion amongst yourself and what direction you want to give to staff of coming back with a ordinance change to set up a new rates class for laundromats or not, or any more information you'd want of any sort.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I was hoping to be able to talk a little bit better, but I like the report and the research they did in presenting their case. But like you, I have other questions about what types of industries would also be affected with some sort of wastewater treatment, the reduction. Your example of the grocery store is something I hadn't considered. So I would like to see more a little additional research of additional markets that may be affected and mm-hmm. impacted down to the city budget. It sounds like it's relatively small.
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's relatively small, and it's actually relatively easy to calculate because you
right.
weigh clothes from the washer, weigh them, how much water stayed in there. And, you know, it's kind of hard to calculate the evaporation rate off of lettuce at Albertson.
And also, it sounds like it's we wouldn't be blazing the trail here. So there are other cities.
Yeah, Google currently does it. That's where that research came from that he had done for him, because he has another business in the city of Duval. Right now, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody else who has that kind of thing. There's not anybody who's, you know, washing large amounts of, you know, coffee beans or something, then roasting them to evaporate, things like that. And he did mention other things that we do for, like, irrigation meters, but that's actually based on a separate meter that we're supposing everything that goes into the building goes to the sewer, the separate meter for the irrigation that's outside, so that just is water, no sewer.
Okay.
So.
Those are my thoughts. Thank you. Okay.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, that was the only question. The discounted rates, you know, piece part, maybe if you open the Pandora's box, so there's nothing that we currently have in our rate fee structure other than the irrigation side of things.
Right, and that's not really a separate rate. It's a meter that isn't connected to the sewer system, so they still get charged the same water rate, but there's no sewer connection to that meter. So, and the only people who get a different rate is the DOC. Is the only separately calculated sewer rate that we have right now.
That was my question. I just wanted to post any separate sewer or DOC. We got my answer.
Councilmember Hanford.
Following up with that, thank you. The car wash industry in other cities, are you aware of it? Like where they recycle the water?
Car washes, we've discussed it with them, and that would probably be someone, because they recycle some of the water, and but the water that they it eventually makes it to the sewer, except for the stuff that's still stuck to the car that, you know, drives out, kind of thing. So, and no one's we haven't. I don't remember if anybody's ever asked, but we haven't done anything different for car washes.
Thank you. I guess my concerns would be abuse. You know, someone try to, I don't know, pay a lot less when maybe they didn't exactly earn it, you know, and safeguards, I guess, unintended consequences of moving forward. I would want to talk through those a little bit more.
Okay.
And perhaps, you know, okay, so, you know, if you're going to do this, you know, what areas where it could really come back to bite us? Mm-hmm. Certainly want to, you know, be a good neighbor and be friendly and make this, you know, work if it can, but at the same time, you know, it is a hit to us financially and
you know, it would be structured for right now. You know, if you want to go ahead with it, it'd be a rate for laundromats. You know, so that one, that's fairly declined as opposed to, you know, businesses that don't
sure.
and have after that would have lost or something like that, which right. would leave it open to everybody just claiming it.
Yeah, like Pandora's box.
Yeah.
You need to start to do that. I would avoid that as well. So.
Right.
So, and are we not setting a negative precedent? Let's say we just said laundromats.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it is a that would be a decent precedent to set then rather than
well I mean he didn't bring his own research, you know, so if someone can, you know, bring research that shows that happens, then that could be something that the city can consider later. But you'd have to, you know, weigh that and how much staff time you want to do with, you know, people bringing proposals for lower sewer rates. And then once again, if we start getting lots and lots of discounts, then you're just gonna have to make the rates go up to cover the cost.
Diane?
I'm not an engineer, so I don't know how this works. I just have a rudimentary understanding. Is there any way to put a deduct meter on the sewer line?
No, not accurately.
Okay.
Yeah. The tolerances of the sewer meters are much larger than water meters.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutler.
Thank you. Brad, you said Duval, but the letter says City of Carnation.
Is it Carnation?
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't too separate.
Somewhere.
And did you talk to the City of Carnation? Did you ask them if, after they put this rate into effect, did they have people coming out of the woodwork asking for special discount, or do you know?
We didn't ask them that specific question. We just found out how they did it, and they actually established a special rate for laundromats.
So they just did a special rate for laundromats.
Just one last.
Yeah, sure.
Carnation, the only example that we have of this, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, did do extensive research and see if anybody else does it. He just said that's the one that locally that he had that had done that for him. So, and if you'd like, we could do that, check around at other places that do that. Or
I was just wondering, are we the exception or are they the exception?
Right.
Great. Same light or new light? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just one final question. So I guess I would leave it at, you know, have we talked to the city attorney about this and asked what kind of, as Councilman Gearing said, about setting a precedent, you know, just getting his input on if we move in this direction, how does it open us up? Because if it doesn't, then I would look at, it makes sense, he is using less, but if it looks like it might start a special class, then we have to consider all the rest, then that's something we have to look at.
Okay.
Cool. Councilman? All right. Thank you, Brad. All right. Next item is the transfer of franchise from Black Rock Cable to Wave Division Holdings. And this is more of an FYI for Council.
Yes, thank you. Currently, we have a cable franchise agreement with Black Rock Communications, and they have been bought out by Wave. I've already forwarded this information to our attorney. He's reviewed the paperwork they put together, and one of two things will happen. Either we'll have a whole new contract, or they'll sign over the existing contract. So that's basically the ins and outs of how that'll pan out. Routine business that happens quite regularly, but I did want to get it in front of council because once we get the right paperwork, it'll be back on the docket and your guys' authorization to move forward.
Councilmember, yeah.
So I wanted to ask the question, because they're specifically, currently do they have an LFA or local video franchise agreement with the city, right?
They do.
They're requesting a telecom, which is different than
correct
the video, and that has implications to us from a financial point of view. And I wanted to make sure that we understood those implications, because using the line of, you know, we want to do telecom so we can bring more services, that means they want to stream video as opposed to broadcast, which leaves the city out of the revenue pipe there. So just wanted to make sure that we were, I'm sure the city attorney is looking into that portion of it. But that, I mean, I don't know what, or if any, that we're getting out of the Black Rock LFA, you know, side of things from a revenue perspective, but that would be a point that we would want to look at.
All right, thanks for that update. We'll look forward to more. All right, department reports are up next. We have the Great Police Department report. Chief, is there anything else you wanted to add to the report? We've two public works. One was the wastewater treatment plant construction and then the design construction division.
One comment is, yeah, we're working on the intersection of US 2 Main Street, Old Oil, as you had noticed. While things are under construction, the signaling, the timing of the signals will be a little off, and watch that said, do what you can to avoid the intersection. So there may be increased backups on Old Oil Road and Main Street. So just a heads up.
Mike, any updates tonight?
Just briefly, I just want to share with council my appreciation to our local Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints for their fine volunteer work that they accomplished here in Monroe during the National Day of Service, which was on Saturday, September 15th. On that day, 57 members of that church contributed over 160 hours of volunteer service. They refurbished landscaping along Tierney Place. It looks great. If you drive by there, you'll notice that difference. So I just want to pass on to council and express my thanks for their community service.
Thanks. Diane, anything else?
No.
Jeff, anything else tonight?
No.
All right, Council, your report. Yeah, Council Mark, go back.
Oh, no, I just have a question for Mike. Mike, do we send them a thank you card? Is there any way that council can sign off on it?
send you a letter of thanks in appreciation, the mayor and myself, and I'll put copies of this in your packets. That's, I just gave an oral report, but I'll put that in for you next week.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
Anything to report, Councilor Camp?
I have a question. There's a planning commission public hearing on Monday, and at least two council members are planning on attending. I don't know if any others, and is there an issue with four of us attending?
Advertise.
So I don't know. First question.
Sorry, we have a public meeting. We might want to advertise that there may be four council members.
There's only quorum.
You said we notified the newspaper.
Yeah. So there's a possibility. So for
possibility.
A four coming Monday.
I'm
required to do is send that notice to the paper because they can't print it in time.
We could put it on the website as well, perhaps. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we won't be doing any business or. Right. Okay, that's all I
have. I'll sit away from you.
Well, worst case, I'll sit up.
So yeah. Do a 10-foot roll. Councilmember Davis.
Councilmember Hill. The meeting this last Thursday of the Everett or the Sky Valley Advisory Board for Everett Community College, a new reinstituted effort with Dr. Byer. And a leadership board regents at the Everett Community College to really focus on our branch, you know, that's here, building up, the publicity around it, the programs that are available there, the increased ability for folks in the Sky Valley to take care of almost all of their, general ed courses right here locally without having to tangle the main branch, and then launching on trying to get a real kind of core tenant, program that, we can kind of earmark that, they've talked about the wine and, and Walla Walla, or, what would be a kind of a keystone of our college as an education program, whether it's a business degree or whatever the case would be, the specialized program, and starting the process of looking into, what makes the most sense. What things can we make a claim on that corresponding community colleges don't already have, the quote-unquote rights to that particular line of, instruction. So it was a good kickoff, and hope we'll have more to read out on, here in the coming year. The group of individuals that's been assembled on there is, it's well-diversified, public officials, private business leaders within the community, between Snohomish, Monroe, Sultan, and the Mayor Esselix on the advisory committee. So we're expecting good things. Like us on Facebook. And the campus, that is, the Everett Community College East County Campus. We're calling it the East County Campus. And a lot of people don't even realize that they have their own facility. They're not in the high school anymore. Well, they are on certain things, but the Lake Tai building, Lake Tai Campus.
Beautiful Lake Tai Campus.
The beautiful Lake Tai Campus, that's right.
Awesome. All right,
good.
Really enjoying Citizens Police Academy, Councilmember Davis and Williams. And I, this weekend, got to have a little fun learning about a use of force and getting to practice a little use of force this last weekend. So, shooting a variety of weapons, although a little disappointed we didn't get to go with the M5 and the automated, but we'll get over it. And some amazing simulations, really amazing. Just again, just emphasizes over and over how well-trained our police force is, just how much they just have to think about walking into a room that we don't have to think about. And it's been a real education. Each week is an education, and I know we've really been enjoying it. Councilman Williams has been really enjoying it as well. So. Again, really glad that opportunity was there. And if anybody hasn't done it, get your name in for next time. Well worth the time on Thursday nights to do it. So.
Only if I can taste the chief.
We had a few volunteers on Saturday to taste, but legally they could not do that to us. Yeah, we watched a lot of videos of that. It was interesting.
Hangover.
Yeah.
Hangover
gets. Oh, yeah, he gets tased.
City Administrator, I'm draft agenda for October 16th.
First, I'd like to thank Mayor Pro Tem for helping out this evening. Appreciate it. Nice work. And the draft agenda for October 16th. public hearings. We have the short flat extension. Number two, Roosevelt Ridge rezone. Roosevelt Road rezone. Boy, I'm struggling. Out of the gate, we have the consent agenda. Under new business, number one, we've moved. Number two, under new business, to receive and evaluate complaints or charges brought against a public official or employee. Then we have the draft agenda for November 6th, 2012.
And so did we talk about the 23rd that we do? So would we have a draft agenda for?
We definitely
23rd will. On that night rather than yes. November 6th? Yeah. Yes. And so we have at least one item that night. I'm assuming there will be other things that we're going to do.
Yeah. We'll probably move some of the November 6th stuff back. Yeah.
Probably good.
Yeah. 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 Councilmember Kettemeyer.
Thank you. As I've been told that to receive and evaluate complaints and charges brought against a public officer is me, could you be very specific in what the complaint or charge is?
That's the purpose of what next week is. Yeah.
Well, I think it's valid that I ask what the complaint or charge is. It's in a public meeting.
I don't think that we're prepared to talk about it this time. I don't know. Are you prepared to talk about it?
So I'm not told what the complaint is.
Meetings that may have or may not have been had in executive session, I don't think we're going to discuss it in open session.
Well,
at this time.
Administrator Brazel called me and told me that it was about me, so that wasn't an executive session. I think it's fair that I ask what the specific complaint is.
Administrator.
I think it's adequate to say that communications on Facebook that potentially talked about executive session matter.
Okay, so is it communications on Facebook or is it revealing confidential information? Which?
I think it's both.
So you're saying there's two complaints?
No, I'm saying it's one, meaning both topics as one. Does that make sense?
No, but we can talk about it.
Entertaining motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Councilmember Camp, seconded by Councilmember Kettemeyer to adjourn.
Aye.
We are adjourned. 8:50.